Is that better? Acts 22:15. I'd like to ask our brother Jay Cooper if he'll lead us in prayer before the meeting. And we appreciate him working with the kids again tonight. And they will be dismissed just after our brother Al Paraki and his wife share with us their testimony. So there are a few here, but maybe some more will come in the next few minutes. So Brother Cooper will lead us in prayer, then they'll come and share their testimony. And then Brother Dodelaire is going to bring the word tonight. But now I understand. Oh, let's see. We have a substitute. We have special music with the Al Parakis as well. So should the kids stay to listen to that? Sure? Okay. All right. Well, that's what we'll do. After the special music, then the kids will leave. All right. Good. Okay. Brother Cooper, please. Amen. Amen. Brother and sister, please, if you're joining. Okay. All right. Good. Okay. All right.
I will just sing this a cappella, and the title of the song is My Debt of Love. We owe so much to the Lord for saving us. A debt of love I owe to Jesus, the Son of God, the man of Calvary. My burning soul bows low in love before Him, for He has paid sin's penalty for me. My life, my love, my all to Christ I owe, who bore my sin upon the cross of woe. All gladly now I own Him, Savior King. My debt of love to Christ I bring. A debt of love I owe to Jesus. Each day He walks the way of life for me. The love that paid my pardon plans my pathway. The blood that bought me keeps me glad and free. My life, my love, my all to Christ I owe, who bore my sin upon the cross of woe. All gladly now I own Him, Savior King. My debt of love to Christ I
ask my wife now to come over. And ladies first.
Good evening. Maayong gabi. That's the Ilonggo for good evening. It's again a joy to be sharing our testimony. There are just three brief outlines I have. My husband always tells me, make it short when you share your testimony. First, I would like to thank the Lord for His grace, abundant grace upon my life. Grace for saving me I came from a family that had religion. Like we have Aglipayan Church, which is a church separated from the Roman Catholics during the Spanish time. And my mother took me to church, attended Mass, and I also participated in processions, many activities when I was a little girl. And I worshiped Mary. I would offer flowers to her during the May flower month. But there's a little Baptist church in our town. And my cousin is a member of that church, a saint, and so she invited me to attend Sunday school. That was at age 15, when I realized that my good works, all my devotion to my religion cannot save me. So right in Sunday school class, I repented of my sin and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was in high school then, and I dedicated my life to the Lord. And I remember my family was not Christian. There were six brothers. Then gradually the Lord used his servant there in the local church to reach out to my family. And finally my brothers, except for the two, well, they accepted the Lord, but they are not living for the Lord now, came to know the Lord, and we all, my parents too, became Christians. And what I can say is the grace of God had led me through in my choice of my career and my choice of my life partner. And the Lord led me to university there, also established by the missionaries to finish my bachelor in nursing, and then later led me to work in the Bethel Baptist Clinic, which is a mission hospital clinic there in the southern part of the Philippines. And that's where Pert and I got engaged. He was a pastor then. So I thank God that his grace is abundant on my life. And then I thank the Lord for his goodness. He led us here to the United States for Pert's further training. And he allowed me to work at Blodgett Medical Center, which is Spectrum now, for 9 years as a registered nurse. And then he gave us two children. And it is our joy to see that our children are walking in the truth. And praise God for that. We praise God for a loving church family, like Dry Baptist Church, that had nurtured us in our walk with the Lord, and then was used of the Lord to send us back to the Philippines. And we thank the Lord for our mission board, Christ for the Philippines, the dedicated men that he used in leading us back to where God really wants us to be. And for this past 25 years, God has been good to us, serving there in Iloilo City, planting churches through radio. What do I do as a missionary wife? Pert had delegated to me, first being his, my responsibility is being his wife and the mother of our children. And then he delegated to me the finances in the office. We have an accountant and a bookkeeper, but he assigned that to me. And also, we go visitation together, radio listeners in the town or in the out of town, and we do counseling together of people who listen to the broadcast and would visit us in the office, and other behind-the-scenes responsibility that the Lord has given me, hospitality ministry for visitors there in our city, missionaries and pastors alike, and the ministry of encouragement among the ladies, among the wives of our outreach pastors, and serving the Lord and being in the place where he wants us to be is the best thing that could happen in my life. And I have committed my life to him, and he has never disappointed me. And I thank God that by his grace, by his goodness, and by his generosity, we continue on to serve him. And my life verse that I have claimed is Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. God be praised for all that he has done in my life. And I thank you. The church is here. You never know your influence for many, many people in other lands and here too, as we continue to be faithful in obeying his command to be witnesses for him.
Okay, thank you. That's long enough. I'll tell you a story. We were at the conference there in Harrisburg, and my wife, we had a testimony, and I told her, lady, it was short, but she was so inspired to talk almost 20 minutes. And she would say on every spot of her testimony, to make the story short, and she said it 5 times. But praise the Lord that God gave me a wife who is so committed to the work. We were talking this afternoon how important it is to find the right person to be your life mate. And I thank the Lord for giving her to me, so kind and understanding and devoted to me and to the children. And I praise the Lord for that. Well, I told you already of how I came to know the Lord through that lady missionary, Miss Mona Kemri. But I would just like to start this testimony by the year we came to the United States in 1972. I pastored our church for 5 years, assistant pastor, and after that, the Lord opened the door for us to come to the States. That was 1972. And my wife started to work. And we almost decided to stay here. It's good to stay here. We were on our comfort zone already. We bought a house, and I was working already at the Yamaha Musical Products, where they make these Yamaha pianos. And then my wife is just walking distance to the hospital. So we almost decided to stay here. But on the eighth year, the Lord just started with me, telling us to go back to the Philippines. Well, I fought and struggled because I didn't want to go back. Any Filipino would like to do all he can to come to the States, sell his carabao or his land just so he can go to the United States. But finally, the Lord prevailed. In 1981, we sold our house. She resigned from the hospital where she worked. And I also resigned from my job and packed our things and went back to the Philippines in 1981 with our 2 children, May and Joy. But before we went back, since my burden is to preach over the radio, I went to Moody Bible Institute and took up radio training before we went back to the Philippines. So when we get back, our relatives cannot understand. Why did you come back? You're crazy. You are already in America. And you went back here in our old country. They cannot understand. But we know full well that that was God's direction for us. So we started the work, the radio ministry by faith. Started with whatever the Lord provided, and let's go. The Lord will prevail with $600 a month support. Let's go. The Lord will just provide. And so we left and started the work. And by faith, we started the radio ministry. And when we were there already, after taking that step of faith, the Lord just kept sending the funds so that we were able to build a nice recording studio and buy the equipment. After we have made that step of faith, when we were there already, the funds came in to buy those things. So we were excited. Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes we would like to see the money there before we go. And sometimes the Lord works in a different way. We are convinced that you want us to go back, and we would like to commit to you everything that we plan to do. And after that, we were able to buy that building, build the building, and buy the equipment. And started with one radio station. And we are just excited to report to you this evening that by God's grace, we are now in 10 stations all throughout the central part of the Philippines. And by the grace of God, the Lord enabled us to establish 10 churches now after those years of preaching daily over the radio. One thing was there that the radio cost is not so expensive. Radio time is not so expensive. You preach daily for 30 minutes and you only pay $200 a month for preaching daily over the airwaves. I don't know here how much is the cost of radio time. Imagine. Every day you preach for 30 minutes for $200. You cannot beat it. And the Lord used radio to establish those churches. They would write to us and tell us, Pastor, we are listening here. And so we go and visit them. And if there's no church in their town or in their village, we invite ourselves to start a Bible study in their home. That's what we do. And that develops into a local church. Later on, the crowd gets bigger and then start looking for a lot and then build a church. So we praise God for that. In one of the towns there in Boracay, I don't know if you hear that place, the island of Boracay, it is now a world-known resort. If you go to some of these magazines, Boracay is there. Europeans go there. One of the best resorts in the world now. And one day, this young fellow came to the office, and he said to me, Pastor Pert, there are so many who are listening to your program here in this island. Why don't we start a church? Oh, that excited me. I said, sure. And he said, I am willing to resign from my work. He was working in a big hotel there in that resort place. And I will volunteer to start the church. So before doing that, I have to examine him. That was the first time I saw him, what heard his doctrine, where what he believes, and found out that he was sound in his doctrine. I said, praise the Lord. So he was the one who started the work. Now we have a church in Boracay through those people listening to the broadcast. And just 3 weeks ago before we left, this church in Boracay sent their first missionary to the next island of Romblon. And that's exciting to him. They felt a burden from them. They sent their first missionary, supported by them. And that really praised the Lord for that. So the work of the Lord is exciting. And the Word of God is very powerful. You don't have to worry about the Word of God. It is quick and powerful than any two-edged sword. What is important is the one preaching. As long as your heart is clean and your motive is right, God will bless the Word. So, praise God for the ministry that He has given to us. And we will continue this work until the rapture, until He comes, if that is His plan to our life. And thank you so much for giving us that opportunity this evening to share. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. What a nice testimony, huh? Well, the children are dismissed now to go upstairs. So, please go on ahead. All right. That's great. Okay, and this evening our preacher is Brother Jeremy Dodelaire. You see his wife there with him, Damaris. And I hope you've met them. If not, please make sure you do that after the meeting. They're with Baptist World Mission. And our brother knows Pastor Steve Anderson, who most of you do know as well. I asked him that when they came because it was Pastor Anderson's letter and communication with the mission headquarters when I asked if there was any missionaries that would like to come and that sent them to us. And so we're looking forward to the word. Now, he said, you know that Pastor Anderson speaks French, right? And these folks speak French, so it was a blessing to them that he was heading their doctrinal examination committee so they could say justification in French instead of English, I guess, or whatever. You know, these theological terms don't always come across the same exact way, so it's good to have somebody that understands your tongue and can interpret or whatever. But not that we believe in tongues, by the way, but in any case, brother, come and give us the word. We look forward to it. You have until 7 o'clock, or should I say midnight by this clock here, but don't get mixed up with watch you're using, okay?
Okay.
All right, 7 o'clock.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, good evening, everyone. Certainly a pleasure to be with you today and for this conference. As Pastor said, we speak French. The reason for that is both my wife and I are missionary kids. We were born and raised in the country of France. So French is our first language. We know French better than English. And you might notice when I speak a little accent or sometimes I stumble on some words. So you'll have to pardon my French this evening when I preach, okay? We are on deputation to go back to France. We're under Baptist World Mission. And we've been on deputation for a little over a year and a half now. And we're at 30% of our support level. And one of the things about deputation, being on the road all the time, is that each time we go back to our home church, we get a visitor's card, and the pastor asks us to introduce ourselves to the congregation. So that's a little bit our life right now. In a few weeks, middle of May, we're expecting a boy to come and join our family, and we thank God for that. And please pray for us, pray for my wife, as we're going to be traveling a lot this month, and that everything goes well. Please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22. And I know this seems like an odd passage to choose when we talk about mission, when we're focusing on missions, but I believe this is a passage that we can learn from when it comes to missions. Let's start reading at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, and the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and I hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. As I said, this might be an odd passage when it comes to missions. But missions cannot be dealt with without faith, without faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, we read that what God requires in a steward is that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness is the key to missions. Faithfulness is required of us missionaries. It is also required of you as a church and as individuals. This passage is famous because it gives also an image of God's love for His Son. God's love for us that He did not withhold His Son to be the sacrifice on the cross for our sins. This passage shows several images of that. Isaac, the son, the only son Abraham had, the one he loved. The fact that he had to be sacrificed. The fact that both of them went together and they went to the mountain. The fact also that Isaac did not say any word. He went there and was ready to be sacrificed as a silent lamb, just like Jesus Christ. So this is a great passage to show the love and the sacrifice that Christ has for us, that He was willing to sacrifice His life for our sins. As I said in this passage, I believe that we find here a man of faith. The book of Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews, lists Abraham as one of the heroes of the faith. And the reason for that is because we have this passage right here that tells us why Abraham was found a man of faith, why he was found faithful. And there are several key principles I would like to share with you from this passage for us also to be faithful, especially when it comes to missions, when it comes to be witnesses. The first principle I see here in this passage is found in the first verse. We must be available. We must listen and respond to God when He calls. When God called Abraham out of heaven, Abraham was ready. He was there, and he said, "Behold, here I am." Abraham was already available for God when He was talking to him. What is our disposition? How are we disposed to listen to God? God's will today is revealed through His Word. The only way for us to find out His will for our life is for us to spend time in His Word on a daily basis. It's for us to be faithful in attending a faithful church where the preacher preaches from the Word of God. And that is where and when we're going to hear God's Word preached to us. That is when we're going to hear God's will. That's when God is going to speak to us. When we have that special relationship with Him through His Word. Abraham had a special relationship with God. He talked to God, and God talked to him. We must have that relationship with God first. If we want to be faithful, we have to be available for Him. Faithfulness starts with that personal relationship. When I was growing up in France, I often played soccer with the kids in the neighborhood. And almost every evening we would play. And I remember this one kid, when it was time for him to go home, his mother would simply just open the window of the house, and it was probably like three or four houses further from where we were playing. And she would open the window of the house and she would just shout out his name. And that was the signal for him to go home. But this one kid would simply continue play soccer with us. So the mother would repeat the call, and he would keep on playing soccer. And she would repeat several times, sometimes even louder and louder. And then it came to a point where he finally realized it was time for him to go home. Now, this is a good illustration of how some Christians today act towards God. They hear the call, but yet they choose to do something else. God has a perfect plan for each one of us. He's got a plan for all of us as Christians, that is to spread the gospel. But He's got a perfect plan for each one of us individually. Some of us are called to be preachers, to be missionaries, to be pastors, evangelists. Some of us are called to be the ones who are going to encourage the other Christians in the church. But what is our attitude? Are we listening to God? Are we spending that time in His Word? Are we listening carefully to the pastors and to evangelists and preachers that come and share the Word of God with us? Or are we just like this one kid that several times he heard the call but never responded back to the call? My friends, God is calling us, and it's clear in His Bible, it's clear in the message that each one of us must be implicated in worldwide evangelism, starting here in your hometown, in your state, in your country, and then around the world. That is clearly said in the Word of God. Yet, what are we doing with that? How do we respond to that? We must, first of all, be available. Be available to God's call. A second principle I see here in Abraham's testimony is that he was submitted to God's will. First of all, he listened when God called him in verse 1, then later in verse 11. He also responded also when his son was calling and asking him a question about the lamb for the burnt offering, but he was available. And the second principle is that we must submit to God's will. Now look with me. When God clearly says to Abraham in verse 2, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of." And then verse 3, Abraham complained. Oh, no, I don't see that. Do you? It says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled the ass, took young men with him, and Isaac and Sarah, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. Here is a perfect example of what submission is. God calls, explain what he wants, and one man obeys. Faith is all about submission. In fact, submission is needed for us to have faith. Faith is only the fact that we recognize who we are, we admitted who we are, in perspective to God. We recognize that there is a God that is above us, a God that is creator and almighty, and we are his creatures. Faith is that. It's placing ourselves under the authority of God. And the word submission, in the French word, we say soumettre. Okay? Submission, the first word, sub, means under. Like for the word submarine, underwater. And in the French, the word mettre means to place. So it means to be placed under. Submission is to be placed under God's authority. Notice how he submitted. He rose up early in the morning. The first thing he did was to obey to God's will and prepare everything for the burnt offering. Here, Abraham demonstrates his faith not just in words, but in actions. Faithfulness is not just words, because I can say, hey, I'm a Christian. I go to a Baptist church, a fundamental Baptist church. But those are words. We need to demonstrate our faith, our faithfulness, through actions. And here, Abraham, well, he did demonstrate his faith verbally when, for instance, he told his men to abide there with the ass. In verse 5, we see that. He says, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So there he's verbally expressing his faith that both of them, even though he knew God wanted Isaac to be sacrificed, he told that both of them would come back. Verbally expressing his faith. And later on, in verse 7, when Isaac questions him about the lamb, he says the same thing. God will provide the lamb. So he expressed verbally that faith. But then I see in this passage that Abraham expressed more in action than in verbs. When he rose up early in the morning and prepared the wood. When he went on with his son to go to the mountain, when he prepared the altar and the wood and laid down his son, bound his son, laid him down, and when he stretched forth his hand, he demonstrated in action his faith to God. Here, faith is demonstrated in action, yes, in words, but mainly in action. How does this apply to us? Well, this applies to us when we can say, yes, Lord, and never do it. We can say, yes, I'm ready to help, I'm ready to serve, but yet I'm not doing it. We need those actions to demonstrate that faith. And that's what Abraham did. So what is the obstacle between us and God's will? Well, ourselves. By pursuing our own desires instead of God's, we are again placing ourselves above God. So we're not submitting. When we're pursuing our own desires and we place them above God's will, we're not submitting. When we are more concerned about ourselves than God and the rest of this world, that is called pride, because everything is centered around us. Pride is that biggest obstacle for us Christians. In France, we have this writer who lived at the time of King Louis XIV, and he wrote many fables. His name was Jean de La Fontaine. And in his fables, he portrayed animals in order to give a life lesson at the end. And those fables were directed towards the king of France or to some of the lords there. And one of his stories tells us about the frog that wanted to become as big as the steer, as an ox. And so in order to do that, this frog decided to inhale some air, just like when you blow air in a balloon. This frog started to inhale air in order to become bigger. So as he was inhaling air, the frog was becoming bigger. And each time, the frog would look around and look at the steer and say, well, I'm not big enough. He's still bigger than me. And so the frog would breathe in more air and more air. And it came to a point where the frog finally was as big as a steer. But the frog looked at the steer one last time and said, I want to be bigger than him. And so what happened to that frog happens each time we blow too much air in a balloon. And it exploded. And the lesson that this writer was directing to the king of France was that you are a king, you are rich, but don't display your riches, your wealth, because that will bring other people to envy you. And when they envy you, that brings pride to their lives, and pride brings to destruction. As today, as Christians, we are more inclined to pursue our happiness, our desires, through material things, let me tell you one thing, that will lead you to nothing but destruction. You will never be happy when you are outside of God's will, pursuing your own desires. And Abraham knew that, and that's why he submitted. Abraham had a long life, and he had lots of trials in his life, and he failed a lot of them. But here we found a man who finally understands what faith is all about. And he is practicing it, he's demonstrating it by being ready to give his son. This third principle is just this one. We must be ready to sacrifice. Abraham here did not hesitate one bit to sacrifice his son. In fact, I'm pretty sure that as soon as he heard God tell him what he wanted of him, Abraham had already sacrificed his son because he had already given his son to God. Strangely, when it comes to us sacrificing for others, we have a hard time to give up the things that we love. Here, Abraham is asked by God to sacrifice his most precious. Remember, put things back in context. Isaac was the only son Abraham and Sarah had. He was the son that they had waited for so many years. He was the son promised by God himself. And yet, he did not hesitate to sacrifice his son. And again, this shows again the perfect image here of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that God did not hesitate one bit, that Christ himself did not hesitate one bit to die on the cross for our sins. What was Abram's attitude when he heard God's will for him? He was ready. He had already given his son to God. Are we willing to give up for God? Ask yourself, what is the most precious thing that you have in your life? Is it your spouse, your children, your job, your wealth, your comfort, your reputation, yourself? What is it that you hold as the most precious in your life? Find that and give it to God. Because that's what faithfulness is. Giving everything that we hold as precious in our life to God. My father is French. He was born in France. He was raised in a home with a Catholic father and a Protestant mother, and he was raised in a Catholic church. And he got out of the church when he was 17 because he saw no purpose in coming back every week and confessing the same sins over and over again. And so he left the church. And then he pursued philosophy and studies and so forth. But by the age of 21, as he was walking out in the street, a group of young people came to him and invited him to come to youth rally in Belgium. And so my father had nothing to do that weekend. It was a weekend of Easter. So he said, yeah, sure, why not? And so he went there thinking, yeah, I'm going to meet, you know, young people from Belgium, Switzerland, Luxembourg, and they all speak French. There might be some that come from Germany, and he speaks German. So, yeah, it would be a good time for me to go, he said. And he did not know at all it was a Christian youth rally. And for the first time in his life, he heard the gospel message. For the first time in his life, he heard how Christ accomplished the prophecies of the Old Testament. And for him, that's just what he needed to understand that this was truly God's Word. And that same night, he came to Christ to know him as his personal Savior by repenting of his sins. When he went back home, he shared his faith with his parents. His parents thought, well, he's crazy. That would be a phase. He's going to phase out. But then he found a Baptist church in his area and joined in a membership by being baptized. And as he was studying the Word of God, he was comparing what the Bible teaches and what the Catholic Church teaches and saw all the differences. And for him, it was none. But as he was growing spiritually, he knew that God was calling him for the ministry. He knew that God was calling him to spread the gospel around him. And when he announced that to his parents, that he was going to go to America, because at that time there were no good schools in France or in Europe, and his pastor recommended him to go to America. And so when he told his family about that, his parents were quite disappointed. In fact, they called the other uncles and aunts and had a family meeting. And for hours, they tried to persuade him not to pursue this foolish idea to go to America and become a pastor. For hours. And as my father would not change his mind, they finally told him, if you do this, you're no longer part of this family. If you do this, do not even consider for us to help you financially. You're no longer part of this family. And so there my father was faced with a difficult choice. The choice of obeying to God's call and losing the ones he loved the most, knowing that they needed to hear the gospel, that they needed to come to Christ. The other choice was to disobey God. And then what kind of testimony would he have for his family? And I thank God that my father made the right choice and came to the United States and got his training. And by that, demonstrated his faith, not only to his family, but to other people around him. When we want to be found faithful in God's eyes, we're going to be faced with difficult choices. What is it going to be? Are you willing to lose your job for one of your coworkers to hear the gospel? You know what? Who's the one who gives you that job in the first place? Isn't it God? Don't you think if you lose that job, He would not provide another job for you? That brings me to my fourth point here. Faithfulness is rewarded. God provides. When my father went back to France, it was a different story. His family welcomed him with arms wide open. And he saw several of his family members come to know Christ as a personal Savior. Some still are unsaved and still need to come to Christ. But his mother came to know Christ as his personal Savior. And just a few years ago, through another ministry in France, through another Baptist church, one of his aunts came to know Christ as her personal Savior and called my father on the phone and let him know. She was one of them who was there at that meeting. Faithfulness is rewarded. God wants to see faithfulness in our lives. Look at verse 12. It said, "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the land, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." Giving your all to Christ is a demonstration of your faith. And when you do that, God will see that you do not, that you do fear God. That you do not withhold anything from Him. God wants to see us fear Him, respect Him, and obey Him. What do we have to be afraid of? Nothing. What is the worst case scenario that can happen when you witness to someone? Death? You know what my dad calls death? Celestial promotion. Just think of a minute. Where would you like to be the most? Here on earth or in heaven? It's not a difficult choice for me. I'd rather choose heaven. But I know that we have a task. We have a responsibility here. That's why we're still here. Because we have the responsibility to reach the others who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. God rewarded Abram's faith by providing, in verse 13 and verse 14, God provided the ram for the burnt offering. And Abraham called that mountain, he called it by the name of Jehovah Jireh. He's the Hebrew teacher, okay? He might pronounce it better than I would. But literally, it says, God will see to it. God will provide. And God did provide for Abraham. And He will provide for everything for us that we need. Notice I said that we need, not that we want. Okay? There's a big difference. But God rewarded Abraham for his faith. He rewarded him by giving the ram for the burnt offering He provided. He rewarded Abraham also by blessing him. Verses 15 to 18, the Lord Himself swears to Abraham that because of what he did, because of his faith, that he, verse 17, that he will bless him, multiply his seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. You know what? Not only God blessed Abraham here, but He blessed each one of us. Verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is concerning Christ. That Christ would be a descendant of Abraham. What a blessing. And all of us share that blessing because of Abraham's faithfulness. Abraham's testimony is alive today. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, God wants exactly to do that in each one of our lives. That we would have a testimony that is as powerful as Abraham's here. That generations from now, people will talk about you and how you were faithful to God's word. That's what God wants to do with our lives. Why are we keeping that away from us? So what are the applications here for missions? Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. We're all called to be witnesses. There is a call. This witnessing starts here in Ann Arbor. It spreads out to Michigan, to the United States, and around the world. We have heard the gospel call, but have we responded? We know God's will for us, yet have we submitted? Are you ready to give Christ everything you have? Because he did not hesitate to give his life. And as I shared with the Sunday school group this morning, when we think of all that Christ went through, all the suffering, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and he did not hesitate to do that for us. Why should we hesitate to do the same for him? Faithfulness is required of all of us. It starts on an individual level by us being faithful and witnessing personally, by seeking and obeying God's will, by, as an individual, giving our tithes and offerings to a church, in order to help missions, to help the outreach. On a church level, it starts with the Word of God being preached faithfully and having outreach programs, visitations, by sending missionaries, by supporting missionaries financially and by prayer. We all must be involved in missions. Because what God wants is for us to be faithful, especially when it comes to missions. My prayer this evening is that God will find each one of us faithful in the same way Abraham was. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for Abraham's testimony that is alive today. Thank you for this man of faith, of faithfulness, who did not hesitate to give his son for you. Lord, what an example for us. Lord, help us to have the same attitude, to give you everything we have, what we hold the most precious in our life, and lay down on the altar for you. Because it is a just return of the love, the compassion, and the sacrifice that you have shown and that you have made for us. Lord, I pray that through this week of missions conference, you will touch our hearts, that you will revive us in order to reach the souls around us that are so lost. And we have the key through your word for their salvation, for their happiness. Lord, that this might be a living example in our lives today. In your name we pray. Amen.